Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm John Batchelor, and this is the Friends of History Debating Society. I go to my good colleague Jeremy Zakas of many years because we're watching El Nino, but we also watch the ecosystems anticipate El Nino. And the ecosystem that is most fascinating recently is the reptiles of Australia because it's wintertime. They should be in hibernation. Sometimes they are, sometimes not. And we have a surprise visitor tonight. I'm going to be educated on a marsupial called wombat. But first, a carpet python. What is that, Jeremy?
Well, John, the carpet python is a non-poisonous, very large and scary-looking snake, and they're very much common up in Queensland, in the tropical areas. And these things can actually grow beyond 6 foot. So the really large ones will get beyond 6 foot, and they'll be actually quite large as far as their I guess, diameter as well. So very scary, but the great thing is they tend not to be able to kill you because they have a bite that has no venom in it. Well, John, this week, again, a carpet python in Queensland has found itself in a place where it shouldn't be. In Nambour, Queensland, a resident basically woke up in the middle of the night, wanted to go out and get a drink, and then decided to use the bathroom. Lo and behold, as they stepped into the bathroom, their foot brushed against something that didn't feel quite natural. So it was, imagine a tiled floor, and really they weren't expecting to feel something quite cold and slithery. Turn on the light, and sure enough, a carpet python was there in their bathroom, laid out around about 4 feet long, but still looking very, very menacingly. Interestingly, though, their first reaction wasn't actually to scream. So Queenslanders are very hardy. They're used to pythons. They've seen this before. They took a very calm approach. They did call the snake catcher, even though it was quite late at night. And snake catchers do out-of-hours calls, so that's fantastic. But then they just sat there and watched it. They weren't scared by it. They knew it wasn't going to bite them and kill them, but they just basically had to watch it. But the snake catcher came, got rid of the python. And the most interesting thing is, though, John, this python, again being winter, was actually out and about and in a house when it should have been hibernating. So luckily the python was removed. It was, a story with a very happy ending there. But, John, it's every week now we're talking about pythons and brown snakes and snakes turning up in spaces they shouldn't be when theoretically they should be asleep. But the weather, the basically the environment is changing, and it looks like we're just going to have to get used to the fact that there is no snake season anymore. Snakes are there pretty much all year round.
Do I remember correctly that pythons can be made into family pets?
They absolutely can. In fact, I've had friends who've had pythons where they get a large aquarium and they do keep them in the house. You feed them mice. The only thing is here in Australia, John, you do have to get a license to do that. You get a reptile license. So just to make sure the animal is treated humanely and there is a register of them. But in Queensland, it's very, very common to actually have a python as a pet. And even here in Sydney too, people can keep pythons as pets, although you do need to keep that heat lamps in there because unlike Queensland, you don't naturally get the hot tropical weather. So yeah, pythons are, you know what, an Australian pet.
Do they respond to different people the way dogs do, cats do, or are they indifferent to humans?
Oh, no, they're actually very clever. And this was the thing I found most startling when my friend had a python called Wilma, and she could tell certain people and had different reactions to her owner. When her owner came, she'd show excitement and kind of raise her head and start to poke the tongue out. And you could actually see the eyes change. But for example, when I'd come and give her a pat, she kind of had this kind of coy feeling about her. So pythons do actually respond to humans, and they do seem to have a very good memory about who's who. It was quite an eye-opener for me. I didn't realize that snakes had that kind of intellect.
What do dogs make of pythons? Do they ignore them? Do they bark at them?
A bit of both. Most dogs, their first reaction is to bark and really get defensive against them. And there's a lot of videos online of that exactly. But what typically happens is because pythons don't react and they typically have a very calm demeanor, the dogs eventually just back off and leave them alone. It's not like, say, the brown snakes, which will actually rear up and get ready to strike the dogs. So the situation will typically escalate. But pythons are very, very calm, and they tend to try and get away from the situation, or they just play calm and effectively play dead, and the threat, the dogs, will just go away.
Now the odd creature that I've never met before. Jeremy, what is a wombat?
Well, John, a wombat is an Australian marsupial, and it's actually reasonably hard to describe because it's unlike most other things. So I think the best thing you can do is think of, say, a brown bear, but only a fairly small brown bear that's maybe 3 foot in height. And then put that brown bear on all fours only with very stocky legs, so it's just low to the ground. But then imagine that bear's quite pudgy, so say about 2 foot across. It still has very much a bear-like face, but also has quite a cute button nose and whiskers like a cat. And that, essentially, John, is a wombat. It's one of these creatures in Australia that's unique to Australia, very hard to describe unless you've seen it, but also something that we've grown up with. And wombats, while they are very that 3 foot long, as I was describing, 2 foot wide and very, very stocky, they're full of muscle as well. They're not actually fat, so they're very lean animals, and they have short legs. They can actually run very fast too. So imagine an animal low to the ground that can run at about, say, 10 miles an hour when it needs to. So it's a very odd animal. It's a very interesting animal. But the best part about all of this, John, is they're actually very, very calm and very cuddly. So unless you do something really bad to anger a wombat, as a human, they normally won't try and bite us. In fact, and you're not supposed to, because it's a reptile, it's a native animal and you shouldn't really touch them. But you can actually pick them up and they won't do anything to you. The wombats are actually fairly loving creatures. So that's a very unique thing we haven't spoken about. I know wombats are very unique to Australia, but it's something that, as I've grown up in Australia, just assumed that everybody, you know, was aware of what a wombat is and just how it goes.
Are they shy? Do they live near humans? Do they run from humans?
No, they're actually very, very shy, coy animals. They tend to try and stay away from humans. They live in burrows, so they're actually used to living underground. They'll come out to feed during the sunrise and sunset periods, and during the day they'll wander around if it's a little bit warm, but they just keep to themselves. Interestingly too, other animals don't seem to bother the wombats. They just don't have natural predators like a lot of other animals do. And I think it's because they are just part of the environment. For example, kangaroos and wombats will cohabitate together. Wombats will just saunter around. When you see magpies won't attack them. They're just one of these creatures that get along with all kinds of other animals. And they're just naturally, I guess, very cute. So maybe that's part of it too. They just don't look like an aggressive kind of creature.
No, I'm pulling up a picture here. Stout, that's an understatement. Okay, fine. He likes his pork chops. I get that. Looks like a squirrel that just kept eating from this end. Do they climb? Do they run? Do they burrow? What do they do?
They tend to run and burrow, actually. And climbing, they can climb, say, rocky outcrops. They can climb short, low trees, but they're not naturally climbers. They're very much on the ground. But honestly, as you can see by the photo, they're short, they're stout, and they don't look like they're built for speed. But I've personally seen at a wildlife park a wombat running at, you know, probably near 10 miles an hour to go and get its feed. They can move really, really quickly when they want to, because under all that fur layer, there's just pure muscle there. There is a lot of power in that little creature.
That's a bigger head than I first thought. I thought it was little. I'm seeing the head next to a human head. It can be as big. Man sitting here with a wombat on his knee, talking to him. Okay. What do dogs do around wombats?
Dogs are funny, and Dallas has actually seen a wombat. He, it being Dallas, he just wagged his tail. He was very, very happy about seeing it. The wombat just moved his head and said hi, and all was well. But most dogs they are a bit curious, so they'll kind of, you know, get up close. Some may bark, but they tend to leave them alone. And this is why I think the wombats survive so well, because they seem to be non-threatening, but they are big enough to kind of look threatening, that dogs just don't seem to get upset by them. Certainly not as much as, you know, some dogs get upset by kangaroos, for example, because kangaroos are quite standoffish. But wombats, very much the opposite. So I think the wombat seems to hold its own just because it is a strange-looking, very big, stout-looking creature.
The paws, they look like they are digital and can manipulate. They also look sharp. Is that right? Are those claws?
Yes, in fact, that's exactly the reason that you shouldn't pick them up. They have very, very sharp claws, and the claws are actually made for burrowing. So they can actually dig into very, very solid ground to build their burrows. And same with their teeth as well. While they're actually herbivores, they actually have quite sharp teeth because they will eat through wood, and they'll bite through wood, especially when they're digging, say, near the roots of a tree. They can actually gnaw through the roots to build their burrows. So they're docile, but they do have some very sharp features, which if you pick them up the wrong way or that they are having a bad day and just want to lash out, they could do a fair bit of damage to you if you don't watch out.
Now we're going to meet a wombat who apparently has a thing for chocolate. I'm not quite sure. Reese's peanut butter cups? Why is he in the tent?
It seems like that was exactly the case, John. This was in Victoria, in Wilson's Promontory, which is a camping zone there in Victoria, which is very, very popular. And it's in the bushland, so there's a lot of wildlife around. Well, this week, a camper returned to their tent to find none other than one of the biggest wombats I think anyone's seen roaming around inside the tent. And worse still, it had actually made its way into the treats jar, into the treats bag, and had been trying to open up the chocolates and get into all the things that wombats probably shouldn't be eating. So, needless to say, they got the camera out very quickly. They've got video of this thing roaming around the tent, and it's gone viral. And then, and this is testament to just how docile these animals are, the camper, she actually goes into the tent and picks up the wombat and brings it out, but not before pointing it to the camera. And you can actually see on the face of the wombat a cheeky smile. So the wombat knew what it was doing, wasn't perturbed by being picked up, and then went on its way. But John, this is another part of the wombats. You actually can domesticate them. And I suspect this one in particular had been around camp for so long, it felt so comfortable, it just wandered into the tent. But it's also a safety message too. Keep your tents locked when you're away.
Do they serve as pets? Because there's a suggestion there, they have family units. Are those family units broken when they're a pet?
They are. But there has been, certainly through Australian history and recent history, a lot of wombats that have been cared for by conservationists and by park rangers who have actually domesticated them. And they've domesticated them plus their families. And normally they're rescue wombats that have either been split up from their families due to the bushfires, or their family has fallen to another tragedy. So they can very much be kept as pets. During the 80s growing up, we had a television show called A Country Practice here, where one of the main animal characters was a wombat called Fatso. And basically this wombat had been domesticated, appeared on the TV show, and became basically a symbol of Australia there for Australian television in the 1980s. So they can become pets, but normally you can't, for example, keep one without a license, but normally you wouldn't because you wouldn't want to break up the family.
As for chubby shaming, Jeremy assures me that that's solid muscle. That's why they're so heavy. And how do they cross the road? Do they have special places for them?
They do actually. In fact, they, similar to the koalas, have basically crossings underneath the road, so like a tunnel built into the road. It's normally in a known crossing place for wombats and koalas, and they do have the instinct to go under the road where they can, because unfortunately, and this is the only time we tend to see them here in New South Wales, they don't have good road sense, and they do get hit by cars fairly frequently. But in a lot of places near the national parks, they do have those conservation tunnels underneath the roads, and that's how they get through.
What is their natural predator, or are they apex?
They have, yes, they're very much almost apex because they don't have natural predators as such. Foxes have been known to attack them, but they just don't seem to kill them. But because they are an animal that's not offensive, they just don't get harassed, which is an interesting thing about them. I've seen wombats with kangaroos before. I've seen wombats next to magpies when the magpies are swooping and attacking other birds and other animals. The wombats seem to get a pass across the board, and it might be just because, one, they look fierce and quite beastly when you look at them, but two, they don't put off those aggressive signals whatsoever. They're actually just, they mind to their own business. They're just working on their burrows or eating on the ground, and they are just very kind looking animals.
It comes to me to say that I've recently learned that Roman gladiators looked like wombats. You think Roman gladiators look like Kirk Douglas or other stars of movies like that, like Gladiator. They don't. That what they were extremely stout men. Why? They wanted them that way because, first of all the fat layer was protection for sword fighting, and a really chubby man who eats nothing but carbohydrates. They did that to keep them producing a lot of blood. Would, if cut, produce a lot of blood, and that was good for the theatrics of being a gladiator. It also gave them terrible breath. But you don't want to get too close to a gladiator. They had very thick necks like wombats, very thick, strong, muscular, because they have practiced with those helmets. They would practice with swords twice as heavy as a real sword, wearing helmets twice as heavy as a real helmet. And so their right arm would be longer than their left arm. Doesn't it sound like a wombat to you, Jeremy?
This sounds exactly like the wombat. In fact, the wombat, you could probably say, is the gladiator of the Australian animal kingdom. That's the perfect analogy, John. That's awesome.
Yes, and the gladiators, they didn't die so routinely in the arena. In fact, the odds were in your favor if you became a gladiator and were diligent. 1 in 8, that's the worst statistic that they can find. 1 in 8, and after 3 years in the ring or arena or 5, you could win your release. And even save money and become prosperous and grow wombats. No, the Romans didn't know wombats. Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales. This will not be news, but we're going to pretend it is. Trouble in the England cricket team. I'm John Batchelor.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.